SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
I'm just reminded I'd promised to take my young ward, Dick Grayson, fishing, if you'll excuse me.
Batman! Biff, bam, pow, let's take a trip down to Batman Land.
There's a problem. Better let us handle this.
When I'm not patrolling the streets, blurring the lines of legality and vigilanteism, I'm Nick.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him.
It's Batman!
We need him now.
I'm an editor at SBS Online, and I'm joined, as always, well, we shuffle the hosts around a little bit on this show.
Let's go!
Catwoman, my cat... Oh, God, so creepy.
What?
The Batman Land Catwoman. The podcast Catwoman. Fiona.
Hi, thanks for that.
And we're joined by special guest SBS channel manager Ben Nguyen. I haven't come up with a nom de pod for you.
Ooh.
But it's Ben.
Yeah. I'm that Ben.
Didn't take you long. Actually, it took you longer than I thought.
Can I just say that I've been waiting for this call up. My compatriot, my fellow programmer, John Boehm, who looks after SBS Viceland, has now been on two podcasts with you guys.
Oh.
And it's taken a little while for the manager of what we like to call here at SBS the main channel to get the call up. Not that I'm relying on you for validation or
not at all.
Anything. But I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased.
Well,
to
it's
be
great
here.
To have you here, Ben Nguyen. Thank you.
To be fair, I have wanted you on for a long time, but Fiona keeps saying, who? That's what she also
never
said.
Heard of him. Never heard of him.
I had to lobby for this role, I think is fair to say. And I brought along a few little items because what works fantastically well, I'm sure, in podcast land is prop comedy.
Yes.
Visual props go over great in audio land.
So to show my dedication to the bat, I am dressed in my best bat pajamas.
Never looked better.
I've got myself a little Batman blankie and my Gotham Guardian mug. So I'll be sipping coffee through the podcast.
That looks like it's a Batman Begins mug.
I believe it is. I believe it is a Batman Begins because it's most of this mug is taken up with a train.
Yeah.
Because when people think Batman, they think
trains.
They think public transport. So this mug's dedicated to
Great Gotham Railway Journeys.
That's the link back to SBS TV main channel. It's fantastic work there.
That stuff looks like it's fitting you pretty well. Does that mean that you bought it recently or as an adult?
It was gifted to me.
Okay.
It's relatively recent. It's not, yeah, you're right. It's not kids' pajamas.
You didn't squeeze yourself into some
I haven't raided my son's drawer in aid of impressing you. No, I've...
He's got his own set, so... You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we appreciate that you dressed up for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
We really do. Let's get into this week's episode, shall
yeah,
we?
Yeah, so the episodes for this week are A Riddle a Day Keeps the Riddler Away, and then its companion is When the Rat's Away, the Mice Will Play.
Will they ever? I'll give a little quick synopsis,
please.
A little recap of these episodes. In this week's episodes, Batman's quizzical nemesis, the Riddler, reappears with a dastardly plot to kidnap a visiting dignitary, steal a beauty queen's tiara, blow up a monument, and in the process, kill the dynamic duo. So it's quite a villainous death plot that's going on in this one.
So bad.
And it's a puzzling couple of episodes.
Ooh,
how do you really
feel,
Benjamin?
I like that one.
Thank
puzzling.
You. Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we think?
I was certainly impressed with our Riddler's maniacal laugh.
Mm.
Yeah. I think they worked that well on this show.
Every good villain needs one.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I think riddles are fun to solve. So, you know, this is sort of like the TV equivalent of doing a crossword puzzle, I feel.
Well, I mean, everyone jumps in. Once the riddle comes on, you set to work to try and solve it yourself.
Do you think that Frank Gorshin feels like he's on the verge of an aneurysm every time he does that laugh? I'm worried he's going to pass out.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
I think he takes it to the brink.
And I've got a question about the Riddler. Does he have a secret identity? Why does he need the mask? What purpose does the mask serve?
That's a good question.
He takes it on and off through the episode. He's not constantly masked. Is it merely because there's bags under his eyes he wants to conceal?
Been up all night riddling. I don't know. Yeah, he does have a lax attitude to maintaining the identity. Maybe just to offset all the green. Probably
yeah.
It needs a bit of purple to.
Oh, well, it
as
does
a contrasting
that well.
Colour. Yeah. Now, in this episode, we have King Boris from parts unknown. He never really specifies what his origins are.
He's an old silent film actor.
Mm-hmm. Reginald Denny.
Yeah, Reginald Denny. And I looked him up, and so he's been in a million movies. And Reginald Denny is also the name of the trucker who got beaten up in the 92 L.A. race riots.
Whoa.
Which lends a bit of seriousness to this episode.
I sort of read a lens of that through this episode.
Well, there is...
the city was under threat.
There is a bomb plot, yeah. It sort of goes to some dark places.
My favorite part is the pro-immigration, anti-Trump screed that Batman and Robin engage in as they're walking up the building.
That was an important one.
Gee, Batman, I never thought of that. You're right.
It's the very essence of our democracy.
Yeah, democracy depends on people being allowed to come in and out of the country.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of didn't realize that was the key essence of democracy. I felt like perhaps voting.
But I'll quote him in full, that all visitors to these teeming shores be safe, be they peasant or king. So something for everyone in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a link back to the Lady Freedom, because that's like the Gotham version of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, is that right?
The Queen of Freedom Monument.
Yeah,
you didn't
pick
that
one up?
No.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful ode to the power of immigration.
Indeed, and Lady Liberty.
It's friendship that counts and admiration for your great country. To America.
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 It is funny that you should mention the current occupant at the White House, because there is a beauty pageant scene in this week's first episode.
The new Miss Galaxy, Julia Davis.
And the Riddler makes a quite disturbing entrance, actually, to hoik off the top of the winning beauty pageant's head, the tiara. And he plants a very unwanted kiss on her mouth as he does so. That was quite alarming. No jokes. It really was. I didn't care for that.
Yeah.
He definitely forced himself on her. And not in a fun Adrian Brody, Halle Berry kind of way either.
Maybe not as extreme as Trump's grab
Confessions,
style.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was up there. I mean, you have to say sort of Batman and Robin side of stage seem to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah,
as well.
Take a picture to last longer, fellas.
Yeah, I know. And on that front, and I guess here's where the 50-year-old episodes come into their own, the beauty pageant, the ladies didn't even get to change before they were crowned from the swimsuit category. So they're just up there in their cozies, which are lovely.
That may have been the only category.
Well, this is true.
We'll never know.
I dare say it probably was.
I'm finding so far that there is a sexy lady thing happening in all of these episodes. There's always some kind of presence of a sexy lady.
Yeah.
Which seems weird in a children's show. No?
I'll never understand why girls like you get involved in things like this.
Kicks, I guess.
It's definitely a thing.
I welcome it. what was Alfred putting on the bat poles at the beginning?
I think he was polishing them.
Yeah, I'm going with polishing.
Okay.
Giving not, them, greasing not, them?
Yes, I thought maybe they were being lubed.
You don't want pole burn, right?
No, you got to get down there pretty quick once the bat phone rings.
Yeah, you want some nice shine as well.
Check your teeth on the way down there. one of my favorite parts is when Batman types at whatever the hell that contraption is while he's pulling up the data.
I'm going to call it the bat computer, right?
Yeah, sure. But he does the old, and they don't show his hands, right? Because it's just supposed to sound like he's typing or whatever, but it's just...
Gotham City, water and power plant, exact location, and size.
And we get more doppelgangers. We get another Batman, another faux Batman.
Yes.
Is sent in by the Riddler to try and fool the commissioner. But I think
was convinced.
Well, I mean, he filled out the bat suit a little more than...
I was like, how's Adam West in two places at the one time?
Yeah, it was some split screen action.
How do they do that?
But Batman, we discussed the...
I never had the pleasure of meeting Batman, Commissioner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Batman, this is my good friend, Bruce Wayne.
The millionaire socialite. I've always wanted to meet you, Mr. Wayne.
The feeling is mutual.
Nice try, Riddler.
Where did he get such an awesome bat costume? And why doesn't this happen more often?
And where can you get one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same costume, it looked like.
Yeah. Because they had the opportunity, I guess, when they were going to kill Batman, if they knew this was part of the plan, they could have stripped him off at that point, both discovering his true identity and saving themselves a trip to the tailor.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Why were all the lackeys eating just chunks of cheese?
What's this, river rats? Munching cheese while there's work to be done? Sorry, Riddler, but we got hungry.
Oh, indeed.
I felt like the river rat gang, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
They came from like the rent-a-thug kind of temp agency.
Right.
And the one that really related to the Riddler... he couldn't find anything directly related to him. Like, you know, like the question marks brothers were, you know, kind of on holiday that week or something. So he just went for these rat dudes.
Yeah. A little lazy, I thought.
Yeah. Mm. But I did like the rat boy who offered the king some cheese.
Yeah.
But he would only drink it with port.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You want a piece of cheese? Not without a good vintage port, you lackey.
That's fair enough.
He was cultured.
Indeed.
From Europe. He made sure when he attended the Royal Mushroom Club that he had to try the wines.
Exactly. They were some of the finest wines in the world.
Well, well. Chateau Le Duc 29. Oh, I didn't know there was any left. I'm very much impressed.
Mm. And some of the most lax security in the world.
How does a club become known as the Royal Mushroom Club?
Where does that
name come from? What does this club do? Is this because they have something to do with mushrooms, or did they just think it was a cool name?
I think it was a way to tie in back with the riddle. I don't think they overly thought too much about it.
It's not a reference to hallucinogenic drugs.
There's no doubt about it.
Ooh, I like that.
Pretty trippy, dude.
Let's not rule it out.
We know what the writers of this show were on when they wrote this episode.
There's a presence throughout a lot of these episodes of an American obsession with royalty, but not nondescript royalty. These are just kind of rich princesses and kings and who the hell from
Europland.
Yeah.
I did like how King Boris, when he landed, he tried to flatter the Gothamites with how great their air was, and it killed.
Oh, didn't it? He knows how to read the room, that one. The turbulence stopped once he was in American airspace.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I loved when we get to the Queen of Freedom Monument and there's some nondescript torch ceremony. That's pretty much why he came, maybe. I love the over-explanation of why the Queen of Freedom Monument looks like a TV studio in that it's the torch room, but it's high inside the inspiring monument. So to all intents and purposes... They're in a TV studio, but just for the viewers at
home. Some kids would have been questioning that.
Exactly.
And then they would have heard that and went, okay.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Checks out.
In the last fight, there's a very cool POV shot of Robin kicking somebody in the face, which I hadn't seen yet in any of these episodes. I thought that was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I also liked his, now we're going to deactivate you line.
Now we're going to deactivate you.
Yeah, and he made some decent chess moves as well.
That's right.
I wasn't across those, but I was watching Dick's velour jumper. I thought that was a good winner in that scene.
So we like to ask our guests to take us on their bat journey.
Right.
Like, I assume you have some sort of affinity for Batman based on those pajamas.
Yeah, and I like sleeping. True.
What was your first connection to Batman? Who's your favorite Batman? That's what I want to know.
For me, the Batman discovery was probably the 1989 Batman movie. Mm-hmm. I think that Michael Keaton really brought the furrow to the role. Batman has fantastic furrow. Mm. He brought his furrow game. And then I feel like, because then when they molded the mask, they gave that the furrow.
Yeah.
And that has lived on with every Batman since. So, you know, I think Michael Keaton has left a lasting legacy. He also, I feel like he's got good lips. I think that's a sort of under-talked about part of what makes a great Batman.
What do you think of Val Kilmer's lips?
Val Kilmer, he's got too much lips going on.
Yeah, they're enormous.
Mm. Yeah. Like, I think you sort of didn't want to fight him, you just wanted to kiss him.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, you kind of, your George Clooney's and your Ben Affleck's, it's not really about the lips, it's just the chin.
Yeah.
Can we please have no more thin-lipped Batman?
Well, it's what they do with the lip. The lip curl, like you're saying. Like it's not so much the size of the lip, but Keaton.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
The Keaton lip curl.
I was hanging out with a guy who was like in the year ahead of me, so he was like the coolest guy ever in 1989, and there were some things he was into. He was into Lego. Mm-hmm. He was into Phantom of the Opera. He was into Ninja Turtles, but not the cartoon, the original Eastman and Laird black and white violent comics. Mm. And he was into Batman. So that got me in. And then I feel like it was only after that that I saw the 60 TV show. Because I think that with the whole Batmania going on, it had been brought back on TV around that time.
Okay.
And then having kind of fallen for, you know, gritty, dark adaptation of Batman, I sort of reacted against the 60s show. I was kind of like, what is this?
It's not cool.
Yeah.
You were already too cool for school.
You wanted Michael Keaton.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, like the Batman movie ushered in this whole gritty, dark reboot world. And then that's when the Schumacher movies came out. That was like trying to bring a bit of that back. And I didn't want any of that.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. So when you watched these episodes, you didn't feel any kind of pull of nostalgia then?
No, like I was into everything Batman. So I was, you know, aware of the show and would watch a bit of the show, but it didn't represent my Batman.
Right.
Whereas the animated series that came out after the 89 Batman, that was much more the Batman world to me.
So where do you put Adam West as a Batman?
See, this is the thing. I think any good Batman needs a Batman voice. So there needs to be the Bruce Wayne voice and then the I'm Batman. This is the other thing that I think Michael Keaton brought. He brought the sort of I'm constipated voice to Batman, whereas Adam West only does one voice. There's a kind of William Shatner school of talking with dramatic pauses.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm.
But where's the gravelly voice? That's my question.
I didn't think Michael Keaton had a really gravelly voice, does he?
Yeah.
I think he introduced that. And then Christian Bale maybe took it a bit too far.
He's taken a run with it.
Like people are just kind of like, Batman, can you clear your throat?
Yeah, it's
like,
chest infection more than...
What are you talking about? Yeah. But then I thought it was smart in, you know, for all the things I didn't like about the Batman Superman movie, that he's got a voice modulator disguiser thing.
Right.
Like that, I was like... Oh, yeah, well, that's kind of, that actually makes sense more than just some dude who puts on a costume and then says, but you won't know it's me because I talk like this.
So is your favorite Batman then also, after all the movies have happened, Lego Batman, et cetera, after they've all come out, is Michael Keaton still your favorite?
Well, I think he was like the kicking off point. I think I got into some of the comic book representations after that. Because like when I was a kid, I'm not going to pretend I was a real comic book fan. Like I love comics, but I'm not a collector or anything. But, you know, I had some, and I think this is like so off Batman canon, but I had this comic book that I loved, which was Batman versus Judge Dredd. It was so fantastically great. And it was, the artist was a British guy, Simon Beasley, who does these painted artworks. Mm-hmm. And the way that he drew Batman or painted Batman is sort of very exaggerated. So the ears are massive and the spikes coming off the gloves are massive and the cape's got it like life of its own going on, and that was some good stuff. That's almost like the real Batman to me.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that's somewhere in the DC Extended Universe and we can see that coming down the track. Live action version of that one. We'll have you back on when it comes out.
What's your favourite Batman? I'm curious.
I have to again default to the Michael Keaton. Like he...
Great furrow.
Well, I mean, it's all about
the furrow. I learned my furrow from Michael Keaton.
How much of it is about Michael Keaton as Batman versus Michael Keaton as a... Because he's probably the best performer of all those people, right? Just generally.
I don't rule out Adam West either. I think, you know, they're battling in my head because I think the Michael Keaton was the first one I saw. But then again, I don't know exactly where I saw it, but I did see these original Batman.
As a child?
Yeah. I must have been after school or whenever it was on. But I sort of lumped that into my general love of 60s sitcoms and, you know, sort of in The Munsters and Adam's Family and with that and Beverly Hillbillies with the sort of sped up motion of the Batmobile coming out of those bushes en route to Gotham City. So, yeah, I have a special place in my heart for those ones. But in terms of the best Batman, I don't think I can go past Michael Keaton. Yeah. Those movies and the Prince soundtrack. And just remember, I remember, you know, doing my homework to the soundtrack and whatnot. It's just a strong. And having rewatched them, I think it holds up. I think that first Batman.
What about Ben Affleck?
Those movies aren't great.
He may not be doing it anymore, according to his brother. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Does he want the role? Mumbly Batman, Casey Affleck. I'm going to fight the Joker.
The impressions today. Loving it.
It's ringing the Michael Winslow over there.
Which is your favorite Bat property? Bat movie, let's say.
Well, the first one, the Tim Burton one. Yeah.
You like that one more than the Batman Returns?
Batman Returns. It's all about Batman Returns.
Batman Returns is great.
That's when it sort of clicked over. Because I think, you know, they're still kind of finding their feet in that first Batman and Joker. Like, Jack Nicholson's probably... Like, he's probably, to me, leaning too far to the 60s kind of maniacal laugh villain. But then I think it's really Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns for a whole lot of reasons.
What do you mean? What are you saying?
I don't know. You seem to be the one picking up on sexy lady.
Can we not? She is great in that role.
She's a wonderful person.
But because obviously you get her origin story, and I think that feels like the kind of... You want the villains to sort of feel as multidimensional as Batman.
Mm.
And she brings that. It sort of also was the beginning of the dual villains in Batman movies. It was sort of a good and bad thing, I think.
And then because there was Two-Face and the Riddler.
Mm.
And then who was it?
The Penguin.
And then Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze. Right, and Bane.
And Bane, Jesus.
Talking about voice modulations.
I won't attempt that one.
Yeah, please don't.
We like to wrap things up by bringing it back to the show and going around and and finding out what we learned from these episodes this week. Fiona, what bat lessons did you bat learn?
Well, I was struggling with this one a bit because, if I may, I feel like they may have been bat phoning it in a little bit.
Oh.
What? I don't know. This wasn't the strongest one for me, these episodes.
You realise your microphone is on, right?
Hot mic, sorry. They wrapped it up a little quickly, and I know they were never big on explaining exactly how people get away and whatnot, but, yeah, I don't know. Next.
So you didn't learn any big life lesson, is that what you're saying?
I'm not entirely sure that I did. Well, I solved a couple of riddles.
That's really disappointing that from an episode of Batman that it didn't change your life. I'm really sorry for you. For me, I'll tell you what I learned today. Even if you have all the technological advances in the world, you shouldn't let that make you lazy.
Okay.
Even if you've got a bat computer at your disposal, sometimes the phone book will do.
This is true, yes. What's a phone book?
Kids, look that one up.
Yes, ask your parents.
There are some things we can do the good old-fashioned way, using the telephone book.
Must be getting lazy.
I've got one. Sometimes when people want to describe their excitement, a king, you'll describe it as feeling like a small boy looking at expensive bicycles.
That was my favorite line.
Which is not at all uncomfortable or...
I like it. It's aspirational. You too could have a...
Why is it a small boy?
I feel like in his means.
Why
in
are
his
the bicycles kingdom, expensive?
In his kingdom, boys are banned from riding bicycles. So it's really apt for him.
Are they all gold-plated or something?
Don't overthink it. It's a small child without the means, but the hopes and the dreams and the aspirations to one day have that big shiny bicycle.
Well, that was a big takeaway from me.
I think there's something in that for all of us.
SBS Channel Manager Ben Nguyen, thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Where can we find you on Twitter, Ben?
That's cesspool.
Yeah.
Of hate.
Right.
You can direct your mean tweets to @Ben_Sid, spelled S-Y-D.
I think. Really thought that one through.
Yeah. No one told me I was going to be announcing it. I didn't realise that was a Twitter prerequisite. But,
that handle again.
Ben_Sid, spelled S-Y-D.
For Sydney.
Yes.
And Fiona, where can we find you? Where can we send our hate?
Ben_Sid. No, I also didn't actually anticipate this being announced on air anytime soon, but I am @AnythingButFifi, as in you can call me anything but Fifi because I hate it. @AnythingButFifi.
And I'm @
Haters,
Nick.
You know exactly what to call it.
Yeah, I know. Just red rag to a bull.
Yeah, wow. I'm @NickBassine, and this has been Batman Land. Thanks for stopping by.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.